This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Please stay tuned following the service for information on ordering CDs, cassettes, and printed copies of today's sermon. Please join us on this station at this same time every Sunday for worship with us.
What does the Church of Jesus Christ have to say to the world as we begin a new year? That's a very, very important question, and we'll talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have taken us through another year, and we begin the new year asking that you will be with us, to bless us, to forgive us the past, and to strengthen us for the future. O God, we pray that it may be a rich year for your church, that somehow or rather the words that are spoken may ring into the hearts of people, and that the Holy Spirit may guide and do your work in the lives of our nation, the world of which we are a part, the church of which we are members, and the souls of our very own being. Hear our prayer and sustain us with your grace, and speak to us through your word this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, it was in 1948 that I preached my first sermon as an ordained pastor in the Lutheran Church. Now, 60 years later, I still have the opportunity to proclaim this same gospel nearly every Sunday. But it's a different day. I do not stand before a small congregation and preach to 200 people, but to a radio congregation which numbers, they say, in the thousands, both to their advantages. It was a real thrill to look into the face of the people in that first congregation in Atlantic, Iowa, who had come to have their souls fed on the bread of life and to fellowship with their friends in God's house on a Sunday. What an inspiration they were to a young preacher who was making many mistakes, but still was treated with great kindness. Today it is exciting to know that the radio congregation is scattered around the world, and only God knows what is being accomplished by its ministry. I do not want to give the impression that Christian Crusaders is a large organization. It is not. We have 18 stations and the internet, which carries to far away places. But what an opportunity and what a challenge for an 84-year-old man like myself. God has really been good to me, and so have you people. It is also different to preach in 2009 than it was in 1948. Back then, the people were coming home from fighting World War II, and others were on their way to Korea to engage in another war. Today, there is fighting going on again in Iraq and in other parts of the world. I think you can best describe our day as one that is filled with all kinds of confusion. And people are asking the question, what stands before us? We are soon going to inaugurate a new president. And that man is asking the question, I'm sure, am I appointing the right people to be my advisors in very important jobs? We, the citizens, are asking the same questions. Who can lead us out of a confused mess that we see and feel all around us? And I personally believe, without being negative, that if we are honest, the answer is, can any human being deal with us as they would like to do? For the sinfulness of our nature is rebellious unless it is changed by God. And that is not what the majority of people are interested in. Rather, we are inclined to ask, who can make it better for me? So we embark on another year of grace from our Lord, and I ask for your prayers and support that we may be the voice of the church, that very small voice speaking God's truth in a mixed-up world. And therefore, I would like to turn your thoughts today to our text that is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Here we read, beginning with verse 15. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given to us through Moses, but grace and truth has come to us through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, and he has made him known to us. Now let's drop back for just a bit into the Old Testament, to the 12th chapter of Genesis. And here we'll get the setting again of a people who were just about to be organized and put together with Abraham as their father. God speaks to Abraham. The Lord said to him, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. He, as some people have described him, was their George Washington. God was going to establish a great people, and out of that would come the promised Messiah. So here we have the setting: Abraham, followed by Isaac, then by Jacob, and on the list goes. The people were supposed to be living in a very personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, but it didn't turn out that way. They were a rebellious crowd. They were always doing things that their Father in heaven did not want them to do. The relationship was not very sound. Well, 430 years of that, and finally, God said to the leader at that particular time, by the name of Moses, come to the top of the mountain, and I am going to give you the law. The law is concrete. It will tell the people specifically how I want them to live. And then they would have no excuse for wondering, well, what is God's will? And so he began, and you know those commandments if you're biblically literate at all. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ways. And so the Ten Commandments goes on. This was the way God wanted these people to live. It is called the law. It is used in New Testament days to convict us of our sins, but also in the background to show us as a guide how God wanted us to live. At least in part, he adds others. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, and so forth and so on. So we were given the law. It was concrete. And supposedly, this was supposed to keep the Jewish people in line. But it did not do the job either. And so this rebellious group were punished by God 40 years in the wilderness because they had not lived according to his will. They had rebelled against him. They had other idols, and it was an awful mess. We talk about the mess today. It was a mess way back there in the wilderness. And finally, as the years went by, the Jewish people were captured, some by the Assyrians and others by the Babylonians. But then we get a very interesting passage in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now God was going to give his son, and in Christ our sins would be forgiven. We could be restored into fellowship with him and walk with him in a personal relationship. Back to that relationship. That's where God wants us to live. The law was simply to convict us of our sins. The law was to show us how God wanted us to live. But the relationship was really what motivated us to be the children of God, both now and forevermore. And so those who claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are desirous to live out of love for Christ. The law of God is needed, as I have already said. It is needed in our Christian life to remind us of our sins and the real need of a Savior. But we are motivated to live for the Lord Jesus according to the will of God, not because of the law, but because of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ has come into this world. He has redeemed me. He has made me his. And that relationship is so great and so personal and so comforting that I want to live according to his will. For those outside of Jesus Christ, there does seem to be sometimes some kind of a moral code. I don't know where they get it from. They pick up a little bit here and a little bit there. The natural law of God is still written on the hearts of men. Some of it must have come from there. But on the whole, they like to satisfy their own desires. I wonder if we don't all like that. We desire to fulfill those emotions and what the feelings cry out for. That's what we're going to have. And you say, oh, for example, yeah, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have done it, but I'm going to try to do better the next time. And so the governments, and God-established government, had to be formed to keep us in line. And they had to pass laws, and those laws were to be obeyed, and if they were not obeyed, then we could be punished by the civil magistrates. And so we get such a thing that's sometimes irritating. We get a law, you shall not go more than 45, 55, 70, 75 miles an hour. And sometimes that is pushed in the back ground, and pretty soon we look up through our rear view mirror, and there we see that little red light spinning around, and a congenial officer comes over and finally has to write us a ticket. That's to keep order. What do you think the speed would be if there were not some speed limits? See, we have to have a law, but the law is really not the thing that motivates us. The thing that really motivates us, even as far as the traffic courts are concerned, is that I have great respect for government. And I know that the people of these communities don't want me racing through their town or my town at some unreasonable rate of speed. Stealing. It's wrong to steal. Now, in our day of situation ethics, somebody may say, well, maybe it isn't wrong to steal all the time. But I venture to say that most people will say to take something that is not your own is wrong. I have had an interesting experience only a short time ago. There were four bank robberies in our town of about 35, 40,000 people, and they were all right within a square mile, I believe. And the robber came in there at different times of the day and told the cashier to give him some money. And then he got outside, and when he got outside, he ran as fast as a track man could run. If you found that man at the end of the day, and you had said to him, you know what you did is wrong. That money did not belong to you. Do you think you'd get a great deal of argument from him? Maybe you would. I don't know if you can get that destitute or not. But we have some sense of ethic, I think. But it's not the Ten Commandments necessarily. At least we're willing to say, yeah, we do have some guilt, but it is not anything that's so terribly serious. You see, in other words, it's not a relationship. Not a relationship. A father can say to his son, yes, you may have the car tonight. Remember, no speeding. Remember, no gang of kids in the car. And above all, remember, no alcohol. Now, if that father has a good relationship with his son, he can say, I know my son is going to live like I asked him to live. But if there is no relationship, let him get outside of his father's sight, and all of those suggestions or those laws or those commands that dad gave don't mean too much. It's a relationship. Well, there are other kinds of sins, too, aren't there? We're dealing with these that sometimes get into the court. But they're the sins that are found within inside of us. I find them inside of me. There's a sin of greed. There's a sin of dishonesty sometimes. There's a sin of hate. We could deal with those as well. It's contrary to God's will. And God, if we live in a relationship with Him, does not want those characteristics found within us. And now, as we have closed out 2008, we have had some hideous experiences from a national point of view. We have seen greed that has upset our whole financial system. We have without a doubt seen dishonesty that has seen gasoline prices go way out of sight. We have one kind of greed and one kind of lust after another. Isn't it interesting? Our prisons are full. And who are there? there are the murderers. If you don't like somebody, you pull the trigger and shoot him. If you have no conscience, there are the robbers. One out of every two marriages, they say, is ending in divorce. Little children are being raised in single-parent homes. Hate goes on. Envy. Humans are rebellious by nature. And unless that nature has been changed, we have nothing accomplished as far as living the kind of a life that God wants us to live. The selfishness, the jealousy, the hatred, the gossip, and all the rest will go on. Well, is that the way we're going to live? Precisely, I think we have to be realistic and say, yes, that's the way the human being will live unless, and again, here I am repetitious, unless Jesus Christ comes into that heart and changes that individual. Remember what St. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passes away, the new comes. Does that mean that we're perfect people? No, it certainly doesn't. Was Paul a perfect person? No, he certainly was not. But it was his desire, and it is the desire of every born-again Christian person that they might live out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, it's in this setting that we ask the question, what is preaching going to be like in 2009? That is not a difficult question to answer if we take seriously the Word of God. We are to preach the law and the gospel. We are to emphasize, as our text has told us for today, that the law was given through Moses. It is not adequate, but it was given to us by God. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It is that grace that people need. It is that grace that they cry out for. The Church of Jesus Christ, even though perhaps a small percentage of people will receive Christ, we have been told that in the Scriptures too. Even though that be the case, it is the message that is to be proclaimed. That is our assignment as a church. That is our assignment that God has given to us through His Word to the Christian Crusaders radio program. Hold up Christ. There is no other message, for He alone is the salvation of our solution to our sins. He alone is the one who can lead us, at least in part, out of this mess. God grant that we may have that grace, those of us who know Him, those of us who trust Him, God grant that we may have that grace to point men and women to Jesus Christ, crucified and raised for the sins of the world. Amen.
Day by day. All my cares He fain would would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his throne and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from our Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments flee.
Father in heaven, we pray that each one of us may hear your voice speaking. But we pray especially for those who are in places of leadership, leaders in our nation, leaders in our churches, that your voice may come through clearly, and they may cry out, "Not our will, but yours be done." Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. Each gift helps us proclaim the gospel message. We thank you, our listeners, for your generous support. For your convenience, we now accept credit card donations by phone. You can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you would like to join our mailing list and receive our free quarterly newsletter featuring a special article by Reverend Larson, call or email us at cc@naz.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available by calling 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting continuously since 1936.